It's taken from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 13. Ephesians 3, verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. It is Paul's wish that we don't faint, that we don't lose heart because of his suffering. Paul's letter to the Ephesians is slightly different to most of his letters. It's different in that there are no problems to address. There's no correction of the congregations. There's no admonishment. It is a letter of encouragement, a letter of opening out God's eternal purpose. And it's a letter to show the church how to work through that purpose. Indeed, this verse that we have here is a verse of encouragement. I desire ye faint not. He doesn't want them to suffer. He doesn't want them to be happy. It's a word of encouragement. Paul is suffering tribulations. There is nothing specifically said or alluded to except that in verse 1 of this chapter. For this reason, I, Paul, prisoner of Christ. Paul has been imprisoned. He's been imprisoned many times for his faith. Clement in his letter says Paul's been in chains 7 times. He's a willing prisoner because he's promoting his Saviour. The prisoner of Jesus Christ. It's a little word, isn't it? Of Jesus Christ. Of. And it can be read in 2 ways. I was looking at the commentaries and a lot of them went for Jesus Christ. A prisoner for Jesus Christ. And a few of them went of Jesus Christ. And it can be read in both ways. He is a prisoner of Jesus. It is Jesus that is actually keeping him there. For it is Jesus who has all power and authority. And Jesus can free him at any time, as he has done in the past. Jesus is the gate of his prison. And it is a prison with tremendous freedom and joy. Indeed, Jesus uses the analogy, doesn't he? When he says he is the gate. The gate to the sheepfold, to the sheep pen. I mean, you could look at the sheep pen as a prison. It keeps the sheep in a safe area. It is keeping the sheep safe from predators. It is keeping the sheep away from the enemies. Indeed, Paul saw this at first hand when he was arrested by the Romans in order to protect him from the Jewish mob. We can read that in Acts. Let's turn to Acts chapter 23. Verse 10. Here you are. Acts 23, verse 10. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest that Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the castle. A castle of imprisonment, but a castle for safety. It was for Paul's benefit that he locked him away. And is that not what Christ has done for us? He has taken us captive, that we might be saved. We're at the risk in our sinfulness, at risk from a fearsome enemy, death itself. And he saved us from that death. Yet still we were at risk from the prowling lion, that enemy, from the wolves of the world. So he has kept us safe in the fellowship of his church. Paul is a prisoner. A prisoner for Christ. He is Christ's ambassador on a mission of heaven. And he's been arrested due to his outspoken words. Words of the gospel. Words of salvation. Words that the world did not want to hear. Words that we too share. We too are ambassadors on a mission for heaven. Paul is a prisoner for Christ. He's there on behalf of Christ. He is there for Christ. It is both. For Christ and of Christ. It seems to me that he has swapped one prison for another. He too was a prisoner of sin. But those chains of sin have been broken. Isn't it strange we talk about the chains of sin and yet people try to chain us up again? Those chains of sin have been broken by the power of the cross. And now he is a prisoner of Christ again. He's given up one master. The master of the world. The master of sinfulness itself. And he's given it up for a greater master. He's given up a prison of darkness for a prison of light. Light itself. That freedom that is given within our new prison. He has been imprisoned by the Romans. And for all they can see, they are in charge. They're the ones that keep him there. They're the ones that have shackled him. They're the ones that everybody goes to if they want something done. And that's how the world sees it. They are in charge. They don't realise that it is Christ who's in charge. Christ has turned the world upside down. It is Christ that has arranged it all. It is Christ's plan being worked out. And isn't that the theme of his Ephesians letter? God's plan for us. That we might have salvation. The world sees us as in a prison. A prison of our religion. They look at us and they think, oh, you've got all these rules. You've got all these limitations where we've got the freedom. But they are slaves to sin. They don't have a freedom. They don't choose. They are locked in there. They have no choice. But these rules of us, the rules given to us by God, give us a freedom. They show us how far our limits are. And if we extend past our limits, we know that we will arm ourselves. God is good to us. He shows us the lines that we can go to. He shows us how we can live. And live within what he has given us. And within that we have freedom. And we can rejoice in our Christianity. For it removes one of the limitations that the world cannot fathom. For we have a relationship with God that they cannot have. We have our God, our Father. They cannot see that. They cannot see the salvation that we have. Isn't it terrible for them? Paul elaborates on this. It's if between verses 1 and 13, he says, I am a prisoner, and then goes in 13, I desire you that you're not upset by this, so you don't faint at my tribulations. But in there, he elaborates on this relationship that we have. He ponders on the reason for his captivity. How that, by revelation, he made known to me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He wants everyone to know about Christ, but the world is blinded. He wants to show his devotion to God, and yet showing that he doesn't deserve this, he makes it plain. It is in knowing Christ that the mystery is revealed. A mystery that in Deuteronomy we were not allowed to know about at that time, but a mystery that is now revealed to us. A mystery that is shared with us as Gentiles, those outside the Jewish faith. Isn't it wonderful that the mystery is revealed to us? We who knew nothing of it are actually told about it. You don't have to be in prison to be imprisoned. That's a strange thing to do, isn't it, to say? You don't have to be in prison to be imprisoned. Paul was locked away in a cell at one time, in the inner prison, his hands and feet in chains. But in Rome he was under a different sort of prison. He was under house arrest with maybe just a guard outside. His people were used to being in captivity. The Psalms cry out their pain. Let me just read Psalm 79, just a part of that for you. Psalm 79, verse 11. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee. According to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those that are appointed to die. We've read a number of psalms this evening. They all cry out to God. The Jews were used to captivity. They used the psalms on many occasions when they were oppressed. We do not have to be locked away to appreciate the restrictions. We don't have to be locked away to recite the Psalms. Sometimes our circumstances or our situations can become like a prison. For the housebound, those who can't get out, whether because of physical ailments or mental ailments, whether they have phobias, whether to step outside, or whether they just can't walk out there. They're prevented from the freedom that others have. They may have a fear of other meeting others, so they keep inside. Fear can imprison us. Attitudes also. I was speaking to someone at work, and they know I'm a Christian, and he was speaking about another worker. And this is what he said. He said, this other worker's leaving. He's been here 7.5 years. He's done his sentence. Well, half of it. Because you get 15 years for life. He's done half of his term. What an attitude. That you can see work as a prison. That's not meant to be our attitude. That's not meant to be what we're like. But that is what the world is like. They are imprisoning themselves. You know, there's an article in the Times that I read every week, in the Times magazine. It's about a lady journalist. And she writes quite well. She was a very active lady. She went riding, horse riding. She went up mountains and skiing. And she had a riding accident. She broke her neck. And now she writes from her bed. Well, she writes from this home that looks after her. She's going through rehabilitation. She's broken her neck. And she writes about her struggle to overcome her situation. She is imprisoned. She's no longer able to walk. She can barely roll out of her bed. She has difficulty in feeding herself. She will no longer be able to do the activities as before. She also suffers from mental barriers. She suffers self-pity. She suffers depression. She suffers anxiety. And each step she takes to overcome her difficulties is a great achievement, as she feels trapped in her own broken body. Yeah, there are situations that can imprison us. Attitudes to different circumstances can make us prisoners. Poverty can make us prisoners, unable to make our own decisions. There's a lack of authority or a lack of power in our lives. People see themselves as trapped, with no way out. Christians, we are not meant to be like this. We should have a different attitude. We are not powerless. Just as Paul recognised, there he was. He was arrested, but he did not feel powerless. He was under God's authority, and not man's authority. Man might try and trap us and imprison us and make us powerless, but it is God who gives us power. He gives us freedom. I don't know any of your personal situations, but God does. He arrived with you in all your circumstances. He is with you where you are. And he is working through each situation, each step with you, as you overcome the difficulties. We have a freedom that surpasses our physical surroundings. For we walk in the Spirit. They're not limitations of this world. We walk in the Spirit. Just as Galatians says, chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. There's no limitations on these things. And this is what God pours into our lives. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We are not of this world. We are heaven. We are ambassadors. Just as Paul knew he was an ambassador. Paul himself shows us this freedom. He was in prison before. We read it in Acts. We all know the story of him and Silas as they were locked up in that prison. And they prayed and they sang psalms. The psalms were used again. And they were meaningful psalms because they were imprisoned. Even there, he was a living witness of God's love. God used him for his glory. And he'll use us for his glory. Even in the more dire of situations. On that occasion, Paul's prison's doors were broken open by an earthquake. Such power our Lord has. But he remained there through obedience to God. And by remaining there, the jailer who had locked him up and all his family were saved through his witness. What a wonderful witness that was. By following what God was showing him, others were added to the family. When John was exiled to Patmos, did he not give us the book of Revelation? How we're encouraged by that. Christians down the ages have been imprisoned, and God has used their captivity to further his kingdom. Bunyan, did he not write his Pilgrim's Progress? And even today, Christians have profound effects on those around them. We can just think of Nelson Mandela. Through his Christian faith, he overcame his captivity. And not only to overcome his captivity, but overcome the anxiety and attitude he might have to his jailers. Yes, we're not perfect, but we all have problems and we overcome them. Every week, I come across examples of Christians who are imprisoned for their faith. I use the Barnabas prayer diary, and I have it with me here now. And this is what I've come across this week. There's people being touched from all nations. They've been imprisoned for their faith. From Belarus, every religious group is required to register, and unregistered ones are not allowed to function. Any activity is punishable by heavy fine or 3 years imprisonment. Afghanistan says, lift up to the Lord to Afghan converts to Christianity who have been imprisoned for leaving Islam, which carries the death penalty. Algeria, somebody arrested, encouraging a Muslim to convert to Christianity or possessing materials likely to make the faith, to shake the faith of a Muslim, are punishable by a fine or imprisonment. But many courageous Christian leaders boldly resist government attempts to curtail their activities. Pray for the protection of Iranian Christians following a wave of more than 70 arrests and threats of further detentions by authorities. Paul was one of the first of many to be arrested for his faith. Down the ages we've seen many Christians imprisoned for their faith. They, like Paul, are imprisoned for Christ. And it depresses me. It depresses me at times to think of them. They are powerless, persecuted, tortured and tormented. But then, we have this verse. Faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Lift me up. It suddenly puts things in perspective. They're not powerless. They are not alone. Through their tribulations, they are like Paul. They are a living witness. Who knows but God what effect their witness will have on those around them. We have the privilege to pray for them. To privilege to uphold them. But they likewise are praying for us. Paul was imprisoned that I might know of my Lord's glory and share in that glory. As I said, I don't know your personal tribulations. I don't know the problems that you have. I don't know the relationships that are broken. I don't know how you are suffering. But I do know that my God, your God, does know. He has a plan. And even though we feel down and alone at times, he has a plan for us, each one. He has predestined us according to the good will, to the good pleasure of his will. We don't know everything. We don't know why we're in certain situations, but he does. And it's for his glory. Amen.